Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Alfred W. Crosby's Ecological Imperialism is a landmark work of environmental history that explains European expansion between roughly 900 and 1900 through biology, ecology, and geography, as well as politics and conquest. Building on his earlier work on the Columbian Exchange, Crosby asks why European settler societies became especially durable in temperate regions such as North America, Australia, New Zealand, and parts of South America. His answer centers on the movement of organisms, epidemic diseases, domesticated animals, crops, weeds, and other species that traveled with Europeans and altered the conditions of colonization. The book does not deny military force, commerce, or imperial ambition, but it argues that these factors cannot fully explain why some colonial projects became demographic replacements while others remained fragile. Its purpose is to show that human history is inseparable from the histories of plants, animals, microbes, and landscapes, making it foundational for readers interested in colonialism, environmental change, and global history. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Neo-Europe's as the geographic core of Crosby's argument. A central idea in ecological imperialism is Crosby's category of Neo-Europe's, meaning regions outside Europe where European populations became numerically and culturally dominant. His main examples include North America, Australia, New Zealand, and southern parts of South America. Crosby emphasizes that these were not random imperial successes. They were generally temperate zones whose climates, seasons, and ecological conditions were familiar enough for European crops, livestock, and settlement habits to function. This geographic framing matters because it shifts the question from why Europeans conquered to why they could reproduce European societies in some places and not others. In tropical Africa, much of Asia, and parts of the Caribbean, European bodies, animals, and agricultural systems often struggled against disease environments, climate, and established populations. In the Neo-Europes, by contrast, European settlers could create farms, towns, and food systems that resembled those they had left behind. Crosby, therefore, treats colonization as an ecological matching process as much as a political project. The idea helps explain why settler colonialism was most transformative where European biological companions could thrive. Secondly, the portmanteau biota as a mechanism of colonial expansion. Crosby's most influential concept is the portmanteau biota, the traveling bundle of organisms that accompanied Europeans across oceans. This included microbes, domesticated animals, cultivated plants, and weeds. The term is important because it presents colonization as a collective biological invasion rather than an event carried out by humans alone. Europeans did not simply arrive with ships, weapons, and institutions. They arrived with cattle, horses, pigs, wheat, grasses, pathogens, and accidental plant companions that could transform new environments. In many temperate regions, these organisms reproduced rapidly because they encountered fewer familiar predators, parasites, or competitors. Their success made European settlement more viable. Livestock supplied power and food, crops supported stable populations, and weeds and grasses helped recreate landscapes suitable for grazing and agriculture. The portmanteau biota also weakened indigenous ecological systems by competing with native species and changing land use. Crosby's reasoning is concrete and cumulative. Each organism may seem minor alone, but together they created conditions in which European communities could sustain themselves and expand. Thirdly, epidemic disease and the demographic collapse of indigenous populations. Ecological imperialism gives major attention to epidemic disease as one of the most consequential forces in European expansion. Crosby argues that old world pathogens such as smallpox and measles had devastating effects on many indigenous populations in the Americas and Oceania, where communities often lacked prior exposure to these diseases. The result was not merely battlefield advantage, but a deeper demographic and social crisis. Epidemics could arrive before or alongside colonists, reducing population density, disrupting political authority, weakening labor systems, and undermining the transmission of knowledge. Crosby's argument is not that disease automatically conquered societies, but that it changed the balance of power before many military or administrative encounters had fully unfolded. He also stresses the asymmetry of exchange. The New World sent important crops to Eurasia, but it did not export epidemic diseases that produced comparable destruction in Europe. This asymmetry is one of the reasons biological expansion favored Europeans. The book's treatment of disease helped make microbes central actors in historical explanation, not background conditions. Fourthly, imported animals, crops, and weeds as landscape makers, beyond epidemics. Crosby shows how European animals and plants physically remade colonized environments. Horses, cattle, sheep, pigs, and other domesticated animals often multiplied in regions where pasture was available and predators were limited or unfamiliar with them. Their grazing, trampling, rooting, and browsing altered soils, waterways, and plant communities. European crops such as wheat and related agricultural systems also helped settlers stabilize food supplies and reproduce familiar rural economies. Weeds and grasses, sometimes transported unintentionally, were especially important because they could colonize disturbed ground, accompany livestock, and make landscapes more usable for European farming and grazing. This part of Crosby's argument is significant because it treats ecological transformation as infrastructure. Roads, forts, and markets mattered, but so did pasture, grain, manure, and animal reproduction. The colonial landscape became more hospitable to Europeans, partly because European organisms modified it. At the same time, these changes displaced indigenous land practices and species relationships. Crosby, therefore, links environmental change directly to political and demographic change. Lastly, environmental explanation without reducing history to conquest alone. Crosby's approach is distinctive because it challenges simple explanations based on European superiority, military technology, or cultural destiny. By foregrounding ecology, he makes colonization depend on environmental compatibility, disease histories, and the movement of non-human organisms. This is one reason the book became foundational in environmental history. At the same time, its argument raises important questions about biological determinism. Al Bio, that if microbes, climates, and animals explain too much, human agency, indigenous adaptation, violence, trade, law, and cultural choice can appear secondary. The strongest reading of Crosby avoids that reduction. His work is most useful when biological processes are treated as powerful conditions that shaped possibilities, rather than as automatic causes that erased politics. The book also has clearer explanatory force for temperate settler colonies than for regions where Europeans traded, ruled, or extracted wealth without becoming demographic majorities. Its value lies in widening historical causation. It asks readers to see empire as a process involving people and institutions, but also pathogens, crops, livestock, and ecological opportunity. In conclusion, ecological imperialism is best suited for readers interested in environmental history, colonial history, historical geography, epidemiology, and the long-term consequences of biological exchange. It is especially valuable for students and general readers who want an explanation of European expansion that goes beyond weapons, capitalism, or state power without ignoring those forces entirely. The book provides an intellectual benefit by making visible the ecological partners of empire microbes that reshaped populations, livestock that altered land use, crops that supported settler communities, and weeds that helped transform unfamiliar places into workable colonial landscapes. It also offers practical relevance for thinking about invasive species, global mobility, and the unintended consequences of moving organisms across ecological boundaries. Compared with many books on imperialism, Crosby's work stands out because its main unit of analysis is not only the empire, the nation, or the army, but the biological package that traveled with settlers. Compared with broader world history accounts, it is more focused on the environmental mechanics of colonization in temperate regions. Its influence comes from this specific explanatory power. It shows that empire was not only imposed on landscapes, but also grew through them. If you would like to support Alfred W. Crosby, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.